Welcome to the Draw.Biz Podcast, your weekly dose of fantasy footy content.
Welcome to the Draft Doctors, talking all things AFL fantasy and Supercoach Draft. G'day, I'm Doss, and on the show this week, as always, it's our round review. This week, looking at all the action from round 10. Plus, we've got our waiver wire pickups, trade of the week, and a captain risky option, and your listener questions. We've got no Stevie Fizz on the pod this week, but massive shout out to the big fella who finished a half marathon in the beautiful city of Adelaide this morning. It was a bloody awesome effort. I caught up with him after the race. I doubt he'll be actually moving for a few weeks though. He was limping around a bit there, but good luck with your recovery there, mate. We also have a late withdrawal with Christian Stateslam out this week as well. He's a busy man, the Statesman, but he always manages to find some time to swing me several messages on how many points he's catching me in our off-brand bet. Anyway, it's just the dream team on deck this week, so welcome aboard, Jono.
Yeah, g'day, Doss. G'day, listeners. And Stevie Fizz did the half marathon sub 2 hours, 1:59.42, I think it was, so fair effort. But onto some serious news before we get onto the rest of the show. We joke around that we have hashtag Bevo out, hashtag Goodwin out, but we've let one of our boys through the cracks, and that was Brad Scott. He'd been under the pump all year, not having he drafted all these players to get him back into finals contention, but we just let him go by the wayside, and no hashtag Brad Scott out. And he's now out for good. So, Brad Scott, we do apologise on the Draft Doctors for failing to save your career, because every time we do mention the hashtag coach out, they turn around for good fortune. So, I do apologise, Brad Scott, and good luck at Carlton.
We definitely, yeah, good luck at Carlton. Yeah, we should have cashed in on those shirts while we could have as well. So, now that we have introduced the Dream Team duo, I should also mention that Cam is on the pod as well. G'day, Cam.
Yeah, g'day, mate. And glad to be the third wheel to the Dream Team. But I actually think I know why Statesman might be sitting out of this pod. There was a Listener League keeper trade that went through this week, and you know, some would describe it as maybe a little bit one-sided, and, you know, maybe he's just getting a little bit naive in his old age and he's starting to forget that players are quite old. So he's basically taken four of my old players and given me four very good young players. And the four players that I gave him were kind of junky anyway. What happened? What did you make of that, Doss?
So when I saw the trade go through, we were talking off air, and I literally thought it was the other way around, because I was like, oh, surely this is a typical Cam trade, and I was starting the hashtag Cam out. And boy, when I found out it was the other way around, it shocked me. I think the old man's just, he's lost a step, and you've taken advantage there. It's a bit mean, really, Cam, I think. Can you talk us through the trade before we get to our round 10 review? Because this, I don't know, let's find out what the listeners think about this trade, because it genuinely shocked me. I think you've won this trade hugely, Cam.
So basically, Statesman, for context, is pushing for the win this year. So he's trying to trade in as many, you know, probably guns that are going to retire in the next couple of years. And me, I took over a team where the best player was Max Gawn, then Daylight, and then Dom Sheed. So it was not a great team. So I've traded him Sean Higgins, Mitch Robinson, Jack Zeeble, and Dom Sheed. And in return, I've got Josh Kelly, Brandon Parfitt, Jack Higgins, and Sydney Stack, all of whom are going to contribute nicely to my rebuild.
Yeah, I mean, I do see the both sides of the case here in terms of Statesman competing for the win now, but I definitely think you've cashed in and you've got some really great young assets. But anyway, Jono, what are your thoughts on this?
Josh Kelly alone is worth that trade alone. I mean, Higgins is, what, 31, and who knows what's happening in the North situation. He might not get played for the rest of the year. Mitch Robinson, hot and cold, depend on how they play him. So, yeah, I don't mind at all. And a couple of quality kids in Higgins, Stack. Be interesting to see if he retains his spot when Koch and the likes come back. But still a good pickup.
Hashtag Stato out. All right, let's get to our round 10 review, where we discuss all things we noticed from a fantasy perspective this weekend, starting with the Sydney-Collingwood game. And Ryan Clark nearly got the Swannies their second W in a row, but I checked that one out. And the first point I was going to make was Ryan Clark, the elite tagger. Guys, he's been deployed by horse in a tagging role. He absolutely shut down Sidebottom, which, I mean, just to rub salt in the wound, I've been, you know, harping on about Ryan Clark a bit, and then I've picked up Sidebottom, and I've got him in a few of my draft leagues, picked him up in off-brand as well, and then he comes out, shuts him down, had about 10 points, fantasy points in the first half, Sidey, and he could not get near it with Clark just smothering him. You can tell he's just really wants to hold his spot in the team, and I mean, with him, and if they put Hewitt in a tagging role as well, which they did until he got injured in this one, they've got two guys that can potentially shut down opposition players. So potentially something to be wary of going forward when your big captain guys are up against Sydney. I don't know how long this will last, but yeah, see who Clark gets next. I think he's got Geelong next week. So could that be Tim Kelly, Cam?
Yeah, it's probably Tim Kelly. But do you reckon, like, if you're deploying two taggers as taggers, are you just giving up? Like, is that just basically saying our mid's not as good as your mid and we're going to just negate two of your good players and hope that maybe then we're a chance?
Well, I mean, they're in the game for a lot of this one, so I'm not sure. Like, if they're in the game, then it's like, maybe just keep going with it, and maybe it isn't giving up. Maybe it's just like, this is how we're going to win with the limited stocks that we have at the moment. But what do you think, Jono?
Well, I thought when they played Collingwood, it actually let Hewitt off the chain and actually play that midfield role as he should. I didn't see too much of the Friday night game, but I would assume Hewitt played the same role and was just let it be, and maybe JPK hampered him a little bit, but I didn't see a lot of it to notice that at all. But I think if Clark is a tagger, then that's freeing up Hewitt to play as that pure mid role that we know he can play.
Yeah, I think he was kind of bodying on early with maybe Pendles a little bit, but yeah, it definitely wasn't as hard a tag as he usually does. But now we've also got Kennedy out for a while now. Cam, do you have any more on that injury report? But I mean, for me, I'd be thinking probably a bit late to buy low on a Luke Parker, but maybe someone like an Isaac Heaney, even a Jordan Dawson. I mean, you might be able to pick him up off the wire still in some leagues, but I'm thinking, you know, or even a Clark or Hewitt might get freed up. This could be big for the Swans going forward.
You have to think Clark gets freed up this week. I think Hewitt will miss. It was a pretty nasty knock. Kennedy's probably going to miss until after the bye. So you've got probably two spots for genuine midfielders, and Ryan Clark is probably next in line.
Yeah, so the final thing I noticed in this game was just Jordan Dawson. We've talked about him a little bit on the pod already, and I mean, I think he's about five people's boys on the pod, but he's just so silky. 2 tons so far this year, but he hasn't really exploded yet week to week, so I think you really need to get in quick and just try and get him somehow. I think he'll be stay his midfield role in terms of he moves everywhere on the ground, but I really hope this Kennedy injury actually frees him up to go in the middle, because going forward, this guy can do everything, plays all over the ground, strong set of hands, big body. I think it all just comes down to horse. But Cam, what did you see in the Hawthorn-Port Adelaide game?
Yeah, the first thing was that, you know, it's no secret that Boak's been absolutely amazing this year, and not just from a fantasy perspective, he's taken his whole game to another level. But in this game, he was kept relatively quiet, and the pressure the Hawks applied to him when he did have the ball was absolutely immense, and it forced his disposal efficiency to be way down on his normal output. He was around 47% disposal efficiency, which is hot garbage for a top-tier midfielder. As a result, it meant that Sam Paupepa really needed to step up, and he kind of didn't, but from a numbers perspective, he did. He posted a very respectable score in the AFL fantasy format of 95, but that lack of effectiveness and impact that was actually visible in the game was more aligned to his super coach score, which was a lowly 71. I think this is generally reflective as well of the outcome of the game. Like, the Port had heaps of the ball, but they just couldn't do anything with it, and they just got completely blitzed by the Hawks. So with Rocky pulling his hamstring and likely to miss a few games, and with Port already missing Ollie Wines, you know, he may not be the most impactful player, but in the AFL fantasy format, Sam Paupepa could be really good as a streamer for the next probably 3 weeks. And then, you know, if you want to look a little bit deeper, because they're going to need some sort of midfield bull, Jack Trengrove should get the call up this week. I'll be very surprised if he doesn't.
I actually heard Ken Hinckley after the game say if the young kids are doing their job in that inside mid role, then they're going to get it. And blokes like Dersmer and Drew and Butters and all that, they've been performing pretty well as those inside mids. So maybe we won't see Trengove, even though he has been smashing it in the sand for
I just feel like they have been doing really well, but they still lost to the Hawks by 40 points. You know, like, individually they're playing quite well, but they're going to need someone who can bash the packs and get in and under to get the ball out to those guys on the outside.
Hey, Cam, did you notice something that I just noticed from a scoring perspective over the past few weeks with Hawthorn is that defenders seem to be really smashing it against them? And we saw in this one, DBJ, Broadbent, a favourite of the Draft Doctors, Dersma, Houston, Lineart, they all scored really well. And last week we saw Richmond defenders like Hooley, Shane Edwards was playing there. Even Asterbury got a ton and Nathan Broad scored well. So could that be something to stream going forward against defenders against Hawthorn perhaps?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's, you know, it comes down to, I guess, the fact that Hawthorn don't really have a big target up forward at the moment. You know, they were sort of floating Segler and they were floating maybe Pittenet as well, but they're not really recognised, you know, big key men. And they're still running Roughhead in the two. So, I don't know. There's opportunity for intercept all over that forward line. And people are just making the most of it. Who have they got next week?
Well, Mitch Lewis was a laid out with concussion. And Hawthorn got Brisbane next week up at the Gabba.
Ooh, that's pretty tasty. Like, there's going to be some big scores there, I reckon. Yeah, good call, Doss.
And what about, did you notice positive signs from Chad Wingard? We sort of saw a bit more positive scoring output from him in this one.
Yeah, he did look much better. And I just think maybe he's starting to find his groove. Like, he was injured. He's coming into a new system. He's not spending, you know, enough time probably with the team to figure out what he should be doing and what he shouldn't be doing. It's always going to take him a few games to get used to that system. And, yeah, I think he's probably getting there. I wouldn't expect more than 80s every week, though. Like, it'll be low 80s and you'd be comfortable.
And it was the illustrious return of the beautiful Bailey Williams, but it was overshadowed by a masterstroke coaching performance by Brad Scott, Jono.
Yeah, it was a masterclass of coaching by Brad Scott, probably the first time in his whole career that he actually did something. Now, the Roos played pretty well. They stopped the Dogs' run off half back, so a lot of lateral movement, sideways movement for the Doggies. One thing I noticed was the Doggies on the turnover were absolutely shocking. Every time they turned the ball over, pretty much North Melbourne scored. So with the Dogs up against West Coast this week over in the West, you'd be looking to stream West Coast defenders. Your likes of Hearn and McGovern would be taken, but someone like a Duggan or something like that might be floating around. Even a Lewis Jetta, who plays off defence, would be looking for that sort of role because they were pretty putrid. Jackson McRae, he seems to be the one who's kicked out of that midfield now that they've got blokes like Libba, Dunkley, Lipinski was even in there, Bailey Smith all doing well. So he just seemed on the outer this week and it really affected his score. He did turn up in the Supercoach format and just missed out on the ton in AFL Fantasy, but that was just a lot of junk time in that last quarter where he really came to play. Other than that, he was not even in that game. Tom Liberatore, again, he seemed to be kicked out of that midfield a couple of weeks ago, but he was back in the middle there, but also pushed forward, kicked a couple of snags, and was also in the back line as well. So Bevo's going full Bevo again, throwing the magnets around and seeing what sticks, and he wasn't afraid to do that in the last quarter, but I think Tim English is cooked and actually does need an actual spell and needs a rest, because Todd Goldstein just absolutely monstered him, and he looks sore and soft, but credit to him, he did throw Cordy into the ruck, but I still think Trengrove is the better choice for the ruckman because he is the bigger body that can crash the bigger ruckman. So look to see, I think, English missing out next week and onwards.
So Trenards was pretty sore. I think he might miss a couple of weeks. He had a bit of a corky, didn't he?
No, Easton Wood copped him in the back of the ribs trying to spoil the ball. So, yeah, it's going to be a wait and see, definitely. But the Dogs' ruck department is certainly going to be tested. And 2 weeks ago, we saw Jack Zeeble play in the midfield against the Swans. He had 35 touches, 10 marks, and 8 tackles. Brad Scott played him at full forward. I'm glad that fucking dickhead's gone, because now he will play in the midfield. And he'll score well for all of us that are who are owners of Jack Zeeble. And I, for one, am one of those people. So piss off, Brad Scott.
Is this something we're going to have to look at in the next few weeks? It has to be. Like, are they going to drastically change their game plan, or are they going to give guys a go? Because I think we're going to be finding that, you know, guys are going to be scoring perhaps that weren't scoring before. You know, maybe we see someone like an Aaron Hall back in the team at some point, or just different
maybe
things.
Maybe even Dom Tyson.
Yeah, maybe your boy Dom Tyson comes in.
Oh, yeah. I think that's the thing.
North Melbourne actually came out and said they're going to be trading some of their stars to get higher draft picks. So it's just going to be one big clusterfuck there at North Melbourne for the rest of the year. Like, everyone's playing for the careers. Kids are being played. People are going to be trying to boost their value. It's just a really interesting scenario there for the rest of the year.
I think it's like really interesting as well, because like you saw with a couple of tweaks over the last 2 weeks, they were so much more competitive, right? And then, you know, today, they beat the Bulldogs this weekend. It's like they've probably got some sort of, you know, good group. It's just they're being deployed horribly by a terrible coach who's now, you know, gone. Could be interesting.
I think I'm really going to enjoy... I've always been talking about Jed Godison, also known as Jed Anderson's time on ground. I wonder if... I've already said it might just be his tank and it might have been for the last few years, but I just wonder... He's always had a cap under Brad Scott of around, you know, 65 to 73% time on ground. In this one, in his final hurrah, it was 71%. And, you know, he put up 96 Supercoach points and 69... nice fantasy points. So I'd really like to see going forward if he actually can, you know, get some more time on ground under whoever's coaching the next point.
Reece Shaw will be coaching, but he did cop a knock as well, Jed Godison, so wait and see.
Do you reckon, from a buy low perspective, you don't get much lower than where Aaron Hall is right now? Knowing his fantasy history, like, he has had some pretty big games. Is it crazy to want to maybe throw an offer out and just as a speculative, like, see what happens with the new coach?
I don't think it's crazy.
Well, with your trading with Statesman, I've got him in our keeper league. I might throw him out for Lockie Neal and see what I can get.
Yeah, but in all seriousness, it's actually not a bad idea. But, I mean, how low are we talking? Because I'd be going, like, it has to be really low because you don't know what they're going to think and what they're going to do with the new coaching setup. So
Anyway,
the mighty Weagles snuck a W away from the Crows over here in Adelaide. What did you lads see in that one?
I didn't see a lot of this, but just Adelaide choking yet again. Five or six goals up and West Coast just ran over the top of them.
I was about...
Pure and simple, that's all I saw.
I was about six beers deep at this point, my way to the Cats game, and, you know, I thought that maybe my mind was playing tricks on me after that sixth beer, because the Crows were in an unlosable position, right? And then all of a sudden, I, you know, finished my sixth beer, and I looked down, and I'm like, what the fuck? How did they possibly lose? But, I mean, the main thing for me was that, you know, Brad Crouch again demonstrated that, you know, without Matt Crouch... You know, Statesman was totally right. Hashtag Steve out in that whole argument, because, you know, he went 116 again. He had still had relatively low time on ground. I don't know. Maybe jury's out.
Yeah, but he only had 78 Supercoach points from 39 possessions.
Why is it so low? Is he just
didn't get the contested balls.
Yeah.
He had 10 contested possessions out of that. 13 handballs. So
actually, the...
Five clangers, but...
Yeah.
But still.
A good one. Sorry to interrupt you there, Jono. Wayne Miller back, and he's a bit of a gun. So, like, we're all pretty big on him pre-season.
Playing forward,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, playing everywhere. Like, his heat map is phenomenal. And he's silky. He's very silky. He got 86 AFL fantasy points. I didn't see what he got in Supercoach, but if you held through the injury period, you know, well done. He's probably going to be a good asset for you this year.
And you hate to see it, but in the last few weeks, we've seen the death of your boy Alex Keith there, Jono.
Yeah, that ship seems to have sailed, so I'll be looking to put him in the waiver.
Sailed or sunk, mate. That is, he is at the bottom of the ocean at the moment with a 46 in AFL fantasy.
That's right. I've got him in Supercoach. It was a cool 71.
And also, we saw last week, Cam sort of flagged Elliot Yeo can't maintain those tackle numbers from last week where he got 16, but he got 15 in this one, Cam. So you're right. He couldn't maintain 16, but he could maintain 15. So,
oh, my God.
And we saw another solid performance from Dom Sheed as well. But unfortunately, that was Statesman's game to watch, so I don't think any of us really had a close eye on it. So we'll just move on. And Cam, you witnessed greatness on the weekend. managing to see the GOAT, aka Braden Fiorini, live at your new home ground up in Queensland, taking on your Cats?
So, first things first, people at Brisbane games don't know how to cheer properly. Like, I had this, like, very old lady sitting next to me, and, you know, she seemed lovely, but she just kept on saying in, like, the most perfect enunciated way, "Do you want it? You have to want it. Come on, please want it." And it's just like, what the...
Like, she doing voiceover for porn or something?
Yeah. Oh, God. So, that's my experience of a Brisbane game, and maybe I just want to go to another one. But the things that I actually noticed while being distracted by a 70-year-old lady were the structure for the Cats is either going to be made... or it's either going to make or break their season. So, Cats have been amazing this year. Really disciplined, high-pressure, structured footy. And in the off-season, they clearly worked on that structure and brought that flock of youngsters in and gave them a role and said, go play this role in this exact spot and do the same thing every week. And it's totally worked. But what I found interesting in this game is that Chris Scott maybe changed that structure slightly because they tried to isolate Tom Hawkins on Jack Hompsch in the forward line. And it worked and we won the game and Tom Hawkins kicked a bag and missed a few easy ones, so he probably could have won by a little bit more. But what it meant for the kids like Myers, Clark, and even Parfitt to some extent, they were found completely out of position often. And it really reflected on Myers' score. Like, he ended up with like 46 or something, like 42 AFL fantasy points, which is pretty stinking in comparison to his last few weeks. And Parfitt, like, he managed 80-odd in AFL fantasy as well, but, you know, again, he was making runs at the wrong time. He was, you know, getting the ball or giving lots of, you know, sort of hospital passes. Like, it seemed to really affect them, and it's probably a lack of experience that was maybe exposed by Chris Scott's plan, which I found pretty interesting. The second part, one of the listeners asked the question through the week about, you know, what's going on with Zach Tui? So I thought I'd take a little bit of a longer look at him this week to see if it's the role or the structure or if it's actually him. Even though he had his best fantasy output for the year this week, he was absolutely putrid. He looked like he had the dash back that made him so dangerous as a rebounding defender, but his decision-making was just so, so, so poor. And then after he'd finally make a decision, he'd absolutely butcher the disposal that went along with it. He went at 52% disposal efficiency, which as a rebounding defender is like way below par. That's like 30% unders for someone's kicking efficiency coming out of defensive 50. On two occasions directly, he butchered a regulation 15-meter kick, turned it over and conceded goals. He seemed to also refuse to look for the switch. He did it for the first time in the last quarter. You know, he always seemed to want to drive the ball forward to his own detriment. I think missing the first 6 weeks of the season has really hurt him, and he just looks to be maybe a little bit out of form at the moment. Jono, do you have a perspective?
Not so much on Zach too. I was going to ask about Joel Selwood. His scores just seem to be putrid at the moment. Is he getting mid-time at all? Is he just floating around doing whatever the hell he likes?
He's playing on the wing. And I actually really expected him to, you know, with Danger out, I thought they'd throw him right back in on the inside, but he still played sort of on the wing. I guess they're trying their best to play those young kids in some form and give them experience in the mid, but like, this was a really ugly game to watch. Like, both sides were butchering the ball. It was pretty awful. Just to that listener who had the question about Zach Tui, I'm still going to hold him because I think he'll play into form, but I plan on wavering someone this week as a defender, and Tui will be on my bench for the next couple of weeks.
So he's basically just got to build his fitness base to get back to where he was.
Yeah, correct.
Just looking forward as well. I mean, if we know Horse, so Geelong, they have Sydney next week, do they not?
They do.
If we know Horse well enough, it's going to be Tim Kelly and Mitch Duncan that'll both get tagged. How good is Mitch Duncan? He still put up a really solid score. I can't see him not getting some attention from opposition teams now, because if you don't go to Kelly, or if you've got to go to one of him or Duncan. Like, Duncan's being so impactful. He's now getting on the scoreboard the last couple of weeks. He's kicked 2 and 3 goals sort of thing. He is doing basically what Lockie Whitfield's putting up at the moment, some of these numbers. And we've seen Lockie Whitfield get a bit more attention lately. So, gee, I just can't get over how good he's been this year, Mitch Duncan, honestly. It's just been a superb year.
He's been awesome. And you're right in regards to that sort of chameleon-esque player, right? Like, he plays well pretty much wherever you put him on the park. But next week, we get Danger back. So it'll probably be Danger and Kelly that'll cop the tags. And Duncan will be...
And Ablett out.
Yeah, Oh, my God. Fucking Ablett.
Punch your boy.
What? Oh, my God. What is he doing? He's gone more senile than Statesman. This is crazy.
Big time. He thinks it's WrestleMania season.
Oh, yeah. Anyway, that's what I noticed from the Cats game.
And how good was it seeing my man live? How good was he?
Fucking merchant, mate. All he does is he sits in the back pocket.
Oh, yeah.
Every single key. Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah.
He's dirty.
It's you got to love it. You got to love it. He is our next, like, pig, you know, the trader's pig. He is our next. He's just so much like the Rockcliffe type of player that just goes around and just gets so much pill. And I think, you know, Selby sort of tweeted it out a while ago, you know, disposal efficiency, not too great at the disposal efficiency yet. Can kick goals and can tackle. So he just does everything that you want from a fantasy player. God, I love him. All right, well, Richmond got another W and Dusty continued his fantasy resurgence. What did you notice in the Richmond-Essendon game there, Jono?
Yeah, couldn't see much due to the rain coming down. It was absolutely belting down at the MCG on Saturday night. So probably the first half was literally underwater, a very, very scrappy game. So not too much going on there, but it did dry out and sort of play football in the second half. Without a tall target, defenders are just lapping up that ball coming into inside defence with 50. Bashahuli, I did flag him as a top 10 defender this year. He is absolutely knocking it out of the park. Shane Edwards was spending a bit of time down half back as well. Another player flagged as a waiver wire pickup. Again, scored pretty well. They were just picking off that loose ball coming in and then just rebounding out of their defence and just scoring ad nauseum. There were a couple of injuries in that game to Essendon that might affect a couple of those fringe players. We saw Jake Stringer and Dylan Scheel both do hammies. Cam could probably update me a bit more on Dylan Scheel, but Jake Stringer says he's likely to miss a couple of weeks. And when these guys went off, it was Steve's boy, Kyle Langford, who bobbed up. He did kick a couple of goals and did get back into that midfield. So he is highly owned at 82%, but if you can find him, he'd be the one that I noticed to get the bump. And even Darcy Parrish was spending a bit more time inside that midfield as well in what was a bit of a scrappy game.
With Richmond, they've started to score really heftily. It's not just Dusty. There's a few other guys. And we only saw, I think it was, last year where Dusty was their leading scorer in the fantasy format at only 92 per game. We're seeing a lot more this year of these big scores from sort of around the ground. And I think the last sort of month or three weeks to a month, they've actually even picked up even more. This is great for the people that have them, obviously, but I mean, going forward, is this a game plan change, Jono? Have you seen something different where they're just sort of possessing the ball again, or what's going on that's making Richmond just, you know, their scores are just going through the roof?
Still the quick ball movement that they had, that they slingshot from defence, but there's no over. It just seems like the Tigers of old. They're just slingshotting it. There's no different game plan. It might change a little bit with Jack Riewoldt out of that team and a few injuries to Rancic of their setup, but other than that, it's just been business as usual. One person out, another comes in to do the job, and they're scoring pretty well at the moment.
Yeah, definitely carving up. And another one from last week's sort of waiver. It was more of a speculative waiver, but it actually almost looks a bit safer now with the youngster Noah Bolter, another really solid score in both formats, 82 fantasy, 83 super coach. We'd think he's almost just a salary cap player, but with Nank going down, he's really got a fantasy game about him. He sort of does a bit of everything.
I'd be pretty wary of that because Tom Lynch, he says it was a corky. He didn't play all the last quarter either, so he did have the knee strap, so if it is his knee and does miss a few weeks, then being the tall player could be him going forward and playing as a key forward, because as you said, he is quite versatile, but it's a wait and see for now.
I suppose his versatility would be his only downside. I mean, 16 contested possessions for Bolter, leading the way for Richmond in this one. Sorry, Cam, go on.
No, I think you're 100% right. And with the Nankervis situation as well, it's an adductor, right? So it says 5-7 on the official report, but we've seen adductors go from 5-7 to 10 to 14 to Brad Crouch season, you know, like, it's maybe, you know, definitely one to keep an eye on. I was pretty cagey on it last week, starting to warm up to it a little bit more. Good call. And actually, just while we're on the Tigers, if you want a sell high option soon, sell high on Basher Hooley in the next 3 to 4 weeks. Yep.
Yeah, definitely. Jaden Short on his way back in. That's part of your thinking, correct. I'm guessing. He does. Well, Short was, they were sort of taking almost 50-50 with the kick-ins sort of early on when he was part of it in the preseason.
But it's not just that. It's interesting dynamic they got there. When Short comes back, who does take the hit? Because you've seen Alice scoring well, playing off that role, even though he's been playing a bit more wing. Who gets pushed to the wing? Who gets out of that team? It's going to be a really interesting dynamic.
I also think that it's a great call for the sell high because, I mean, Basher's had a terrible injury history of late and, you know, he might get these 120s and 140s when he actually plays, but the amount he actually plays has been just incredibly low over the past few years. Johnny, you also checked out the Melbourne GWS game.
Yeah, please don't give me any more Melbourne games because these guys are freaking hard to watch. First half, they're just putrid the whole game pretty much. GWS doing what the hell they want. Max Gawn, basically the only one to ton up in AFL Fantasy, and he scored the Supercoach ton, and there was one other. But the big question is always about Gus Brayshaw. What the hell is going on then? First half, not even sighted in the centre bounces, and then Goodwin thought, well, shit, my job's in trouble here. Better give him a go inside mid, and see how he goes. He did play there, scored in the 70s in both formats, but I've watched a lot of Melbourne over the years, and even last year, when Jack Viney was out of that team, they were a much better side. They were a bit more unpredictable with their midfield setups and moving the ball quicker. I think when he's in the team, they're just too slow. I know Salem was a laid out, but they've just got that one-dimensional pace where they're pretty predictable, whereas you see GWS, they can rotate Toby Green, Coniglio, Whitfield all through that midfield as well and switch it up. But Melbourne are just 2-1 pace for my liking. And I think one of those inside mids has just got to sit out, really.
I actually think the scoreline was so flattering to Melbourne. They were so bad. And then in the last quarter, I think they kicked like 5 goals.
Junk time. It's junk time.
Far out. It could have been really bad and like, just back on the coach situation, right? Like, so we've seen Brad Scott go, who's, like, there are some people under the pump, right? Who's most under the pump?
Worsfold.
Yeah? Followed by old mate Dean as coach.
Hold up a sec, though. I did start the hashtag Goodwin out last week, so does this mean his job security is now going through the roof, according to Draft Doctor's logic here?
I don't think Goodwin's in as much trouble as you think. You mean, you look at their list, half of them were coming off pre-season injury and surgeries and missed a chunk of that pre-season. So I'm just putting a line through Melbourne this year. They're underdone. It wouldn't surprise me if any of them do have niggles that we'll start seeing them after the bye's been put away for surgery and wait for next year. Just put a line through this year. And similar to what we saw Adelaide when they played the grand final 2017, 2016 was similar to that for Adelaide. Whereas 2015 was a good year. They made the finals and that. So that's how I'm likening Melbourne at the moment.
We saw your new acquisition there, Cam, drop 135. Josh Kelly got the 135 AFL Fantasy, 148 Supercoach points. Good to see him killing it. And actually, we've got Stephen Coniglio buy low continue for another week, and owners might be getting even more frustrated. I guess you could probably say the same about Gus Brayshaw. We sort of mentioned it last week, like, there's potentially got to be a time where he comes good. I think I was watching this game like you, Jono, as well there, and I did notice. I actually said in the first half, I was like, this guy does not want the pill. He was plodding around. Like, he was not He didn't. I don't think he got over, you know, 50% speed for most of the game. He was just walking around. And then I think I messaged to you guys. I'm like, oh, he knows what to do to get Goodwin to put him back in the middle. Just show that he can't play another position. And I think maybe Nate Jones. Did Nathan Jones get a bit injured here as well, which might have helped him get back in there?
Yeah, he copped a knock to the back of the head, which exploded the front of his face, and he started bleeding out of his nose. So, yeah, it wasn't great.
And I saw Coniglio took a knock too. He spent a bit of time on the bike. I think it was the second quarter, so maybe a corky or something for Coniglio.
He's already playing sore as well. Mm. So they've come out and said that, you know, for the next maybe 4 weeks, not to expect much from him with the hand injury, but... Yeah, if he's got another knock, that's probably not so good. And I think the laziness, like, or the lack of interest from Gus, it's pervasive through the whole team.
Yeah, like, it really
there
is.
There was a passage of play where Christian Petracca was marking Josh Kelly from the mid, and the team, like, they picked up on it on the broadcast. Basically, Josh Kelly ran at about 80%. Petracca waddled his way back to defence. Kelly ends up getting the ball twice in that passage of play and kicking a goal, and Petraka's just nowhere to be seen. You know, it's telling, I think.
Melbourne of old.
One thing I'm hoping, I'm just worried about as well going forward, Marty Hoare's been a fantastic free agency pickup, but does the impending return of when's the interceptor returning? Is he coming back, Johnny?
No. Lever rolled his ankle for Casey. So, no.
Okay, well, positive news for Marty Hoare owners there.
Oh, let's wish for injuries.
Sorry again. Yes, we want him to return soon. I mean, he'd be so handy for them right now. Marty Hoare was awesome in this game. Him and Max Gorn were pretty much the only two big performers.
So Marty Hoare safe for a little bit longer, you would think.
Yeah, and actually their defensive stocks are going to rise really soon, right? So they've got Jordan Lewis coming back.
He won't.
They've got Cade Kolodziejczyk, 1 to 2 weeks. They've got Stephen May now listed as 1 to 2 weeks as well. Salem will come back. I don't know. There's some positive signs there as well.
All right, well, a rip snorter of a game this one too. Cam, you checked out the Saints-Carlton game.
Oh, my God. Let's just keep this one quick. Casbolt as a key defender. I love it. I actually think it's a really good move. So Bolton saved Liam Jones's career by moving him from forward to back, and Jones is a really good spoiler. And Casbolt sort of displayed the same signs today as a bit of a Liam Jones 2.0. His career was basically over. Like, he couldn't get a game in the ones, and he was pretty average in the VFL as well. He actually looked pretty capable as a defender, and I think he might be off contract this year, so maybe he'll get a new contract as a defender. And the second one, there's a bit of, I think last week we were talking about, there was a bit of speculation about who makes way for Dan Hand and Jack Stephen when they're back. You know, I hate to say it because it's almost conceding to DOS, but Jack, it's going to be Jack Nunes because Gresh was awesome today. Jack Nunes has been just basically falling off a cliff for the last 3 weeks, and he's going to keep falling, I think. He'll push out the mid.
Yeah, so complimentary cartons. Cam is back in full swing here. Jack Nunes is now under. So me and Cam, for the listeners that don't know, had an over-under bet pre-season. I gave you the line of, I believe it was 82.5 as a helicopter or something goes over my roof here. Sorry, guys. And... he's now under that mark, so I think he's at 81.5 for the fantasy format, Cam. So, not looking
and
too good.
Trending down. Last three average of in the 60s, I think. So.
Yeah. Great news for Gresham owners, though, as you pointed out. And I'd like to also say from this game that is it too late to already sell all the stock that I bought of Paddy Dow like a week ago? Because, oof, geez, it's already looking rough for me. I'm almost willing to concede. I might have been wrong on that one only a week later. Hey, did I notice Ed Curno playing a bit more in defence, or was that just when I sort of turned it on there, Cam?
Ed Curno was everywhere. Both Curnos were everywhere. Which was really good to see because, like, I think at halftime, the leading disposal getters for Carlton, with the exception of Patrick Cripps, obviously, were both Curnos. Mm. I reckon that's great. Like, they're probably two of the best ball winners in the side, even though, you know, Charlie's known as a forward. You know, if he's not getting the ball, move him up the field a little bit and get him involved. I think it was a really good move.
Definitely. Okay, well, finally, I looked at the last game of the round there, Fremantle-Brisbane over at Optus Stadium. So at the time that I was looking at it, is it still going, guys? I think it probably is finished.
No, 1 point win to Freo.
Yep.
Okay. Oh, 1 point win. Far out. I wish I watched the rest of that game. After the siren, too. Anyway, so I checked out pretty much just the first half of that one, and I was charting the CBAs. So... I was actually just looking to see if someone that we've kind of been holding in a few of our leagues, see what Connor Blakely's up to. So we got him as a defender, and obviously you had to draft him sort of hoping that he was going to come back from that injury that he had. So we knew he was not going to come around for a fair while, but it's been a pretty disappointing start, and he only finished on this one with 57 fantasy and 69 Supercoach points. And the reason we drafted him was because we were hoping that he was going to be a defender-eligible player that was playing through the midfield as this big-bodied midfielder that we've actually seen be pretty successful in the new 666 setups. But what happened was, I don't know what happened in the second half because I managed to see all the first half though, and I charted the CBAs and he did not get a single centre bounce attendance there. So it's pretty interesting. He's playing just a defensive role, and obviously right now it's just not helping him fantasy-wise, but that could just be while he builds back into a bit more full fitness. But while I was doing that, Michael Walters, he actually was attending every bloody centre bounce, just about. Him and Fife were the two leading ones there, and he finished this game 108 fantasy and 110 Supercoach. So it doesn't surprise me that he continued his good scoring, because him and Fife were just in it basically every centre bounce. So yeah, pretty interesting. On the Brisbane side of things, just noticed it's a very even spread the way that they roll. They just put a few different guys in there. Kind of noticed as well, Cam Rayner got a couple in there, but I'm assuming that's kind of like something that's been happening. But I was thinking the other week, he's probably one of these guys that just, he's scoring, he has not done a thing this year scoring-wise, Cam Rayner. He's had a few 20s and a few different things. We sort of said in the off-season, I think Statesman had him maybe pretty low on his young prospect keeper rankings, but I would have thought he dropped a ton in his first year. I would have thought he might have done a little bit more than this, but they do have a stacked midfield there. So Cam Rayner going forward, do you guys think in a deep keeper or a dynasty league, is that a buy low candidate right now, or do you guys think he'll ever sort of be super fantasy relevant?
No interest whatsoever for me. When you got McCluggage, Berry, maybe when Zorko goes, he gets the role, but until then, not for me.
Yeah, right. Alex Withernan as well, just quietly has been a little bit disappointing this season. I think we just mentioned before, maybe against Hawthorn next week, with Hawthorn giving up big numbers to defenders, potentially a buy low on Witherden maybe, but it might just be a one-week thing.
Dan Rich has been killing it, so they've been getting the ball in his hand and Witherden just playing second fiddle to him, simple as that.
Yeah, so Blakely owners though, stay firm and just hope for that midfield role change, because I mean, you've held him this long, you've now got to hope that he gets the midfield role right, Cam?
Yeah, correct. And like the one thing I'd look at, and I didn't watch the end of the game because we were starting to record our podcast, but he entered the third quarter on 24 points and then he ended up on 57. So it might be worth just having a look at that last quarter to see if it was maybe junk time or maybe he was given a bit of a run through the mid as the game came down to the wire.
Yeah, we'll definitely have to have a look at that. So that's all the games from the round, but we've still got our waiver wire pickups, trade of the week and captain risky to come. But boys, we're edging so close to Cam doing a shoey on the live stream. We need 200 ratings on iTunes to make that happen. How close are we getting, Jono?
We are very close. We are up to 188. So 12 more to go. Hopefully, listeners, come on, help us out here. Get it for next show so Cam can do it by next week. Please keep those ratings and reviews coming through. Just like Caleb St. Athos says, I came for the fantasy advice, I stayed for the banter, with a little fire emoji. So thank you there. And Pastog, he gave us 4 stars and extra star for a shoey. Waiver wire, critical listening, good banter. And there is another one, but we're going to save it for when Steve is back on the show, because it is quite hilarious, and wait till Steve is actually here to hear it. But 12 more. Come on, listeners. Help us get to that 200 and Cam to do a shoey.
Let's get that done. Are you going to do it at the end of the show or something? And what are you going to do, live stream it on Twitch or something, Cam?
Yeah, we'll chuck it on Twitch. And I need to find a good shoe, to be honest.
No. Whatever. I want you to do like a half marathon. Steve's half marathon shoe. That's what you're going to do.
We should have said that first. Get the half marathon shoe. Send it over to Cam.
We'll save that one for someone else. But, we'll throw it on Twitch. I'll give everyone a little bit of a heads up. We'll do it at the end of one of the shows.
Can we just get your confirmation? We know that Smirnoff Ice is going to be in there. We need the confirmation. Will Great Northern be mixed in?
Oh, it's part of the excitement, isn't it? We'll have to wait and see.
So that's a yes.
More ratings and we'll see how we go.
All right, on to our waiver wire pickups for the week. Only using players with the under 65% ownership on Ultimate Footy. And of course, in shallower leagues, there's probably better options out there. And always keep checking who people are getting dropping, because they might get frustrated at them. I've seen a few people, they drop them, they get pissed off at people. Who knows, somebody might drop a Gussie Brayshaw and then he explodes. So Cam, who are your waiver wire pickups for the week?
I was pretty strapped for time this week, so I've just got the three. And I'm glad that Harry Perryman is still sitting at 63%, because that's an easy one to spend your waiver on. 83 this week. I think it worries me a little bit that his two decent scores have come in absolute drubbings, but he's probably worth grabbing. I was pretty hype on him preseason anyway. The second one is Carl Amon. So he's sitting at 24%. He went 95 in Supercoach this week and he tunned up in AFL Fantasy. With Rocky copping that hammy and Wine still a couple away, as we were mentioning before, you know, he's probably looking okay. He's midfielder only, but he could get, he's probably a sneaky DPP chance at the round 11 AFL Fantasy drop. And finally, Jono, this is a question for you, I guess, but is Lipinski going to hold his spot? Because if he is, like, 78 as a DPP is pretty handy.
Yeah, I think he does hold his spot because Bailey Dale is non-existent in that match. They were saying there's three Baileys playing, and I'm like, I forgot Bailey Dale even played. But Lipinski's not a bad little target. He's a mid-sized forward, can play midfield, can play wing. So, he'll retain his spot.
Yeah, good one. He's like in 15 or 16% of teams, so get on that.
Yeah, I love the way he goes about it too. And he's got forward status, centre forward. That's like gold, because we heard and the coach came out and said that he's going to be playing inside mid-time. Yeah, and Jono.
Harry Himmelberg kicked 5 goals against Melbourne. He's in 10% of leagues playing Gold Coast this week. GWS are just smashing absolutely everybody, so look to pick him up.
Yeah, awesome. My one was Levi Greenwood, 37% ownership. So I've looked at just at his fantasy scores here, but he's actually only had 2 bad games this year, and that was when he had limited time on ground. I think it was where he got injured, and the other one where he came back in his return. So all the other games, he's actually hasn't gone under 74 points in AFL fantasy. It's actually surprised me a fair bit, because I noticed him on the weekend, he actually played a bloody ripper of a game, and I've never been a huge fan of the guy, but to be honest, he's putting up numbers at the moment that are worthy of a pickup and worthy of playing on your field, because obviously we know Collingwood are massively scoring at the moment. Now, the other person I had was Noah Bolter, and I only put him in there because I think he's a fantasy player. I mean, this could be short-lived, but I mean, I genuinely think, particularly in Supercoach, with the contested numbers as well, I think he's actually, I'd be willing to pay at the moment, especially for the next, you know, 6 to 8 weeks or maybe longer, as Cam suggests, with the groin from Nank. So got a really nice role. He sort of can do anything, but I'd be willing to spend a pick on that. And then I think, I don't know, Cam, what are we spending? Are we spending that waiver on Harley Bunnell or what?
Oh, look, far out. It's a no from me, dog. And that's only because he's mid only this year. If he was mid forward, I'd probably go for it, but mid only, all that risk. And actually, if you watch the footage on Twitter of the game, it looked like everyone was playing just at a walking pace. So 30 possessions is probably not indicative of quality, unfortunately.
Speaking of walking pace, how do we miss the return of Matt Kennedy, guys? Playing for Carlton, pure mid. Puts up the 55 fantasy, 64 super coach. I actually had him marked down. I think it was like after the quarter time. He put up solid numbers and then probably just putting a razor through that.
Just went full Matt Kennedy.
Full Matt Kennedy, yeah.
All right, now it's time for the trade of the week, Jono.
Yeah, so this one, I actually had a nibble at in our home league this week. It's Lance Franklin. He has been absolutely putrid this year in terms of fantasy scoring, only averaging the 68 AFL fantasy and 70 in Supercoach. Came back on the weekend, first game back, and don't think he even cracked 50. He was horrible. So could be a lot of owners out there who are just like, get him out of my team. I'll take a great northern beer for him. But the thing is, the Swans are starting to turn around their season. They're playing some decent footy. And he's a match winner. Look, they might say he's only training 20 minutes a week or something like that. But he is still an out-and-out star. And you just don't fall off the edge of the cliff like that. So I'm backing Buddy in, and I'd just be, it won't be a massive offer for him, like, but something, you know, if you got maybe an underperform, like a Gus Brayshaw or something a little bit less than that, maybe package something up and just offer it to the owner there, because I'm certainly looking to get Buddy Franklin in my team.
I'd expect him to get a bit more space going forward as well. Dan Menzel kicked 5 goals in the NEFL this week, and he's probably pretty close to returning. That gives him another target and draw a bit of attention away from him. I love it. I reckon it's a good pick.
What did he score okay this week?
Who?
Buddy.
The Budwar.
No, he scored like 20.
I'm not a fan of picking him up in anything.
Yeah. Good, yeah, and look, that's the hope, right? So there's for every DOS, there's a Jono.
Yeah, and, yeah. That's fair enough. Right. That's
35 in AFL fantasy.
That's exactly what you want. If someone like me is just not thinking it, then Jono, jump aboard and potentially reap the rewards. So
hey, look, my forward line is a piece of shit at the moment.
Oh yeah, it's worth taking a punt. on to Captain Risky. We're going with Cam this week. He's warned me it might be a little riskier than the usual risky Cam.
It's just not though, actually. I went a little bit safer. Campton Risky, by the way. Campton Risky? Come on. Campton?
No.
All right. No. So Cam, Brad Crouch. Is it? So, and the logic behind it is teams are absolutely going bananas against Melbourne because their midfield is so goddamn putrid this year. We've seen it today with GWS. Last week, West Coast had four 125-plus scores, and the week before, the Suns even had four over 100 as well. So teams are going absolutely mental on them. GWS today, sorry, three over 120. So it's...
I think Statesman would spit on it, though. It's got to be riskier. That guy's averaging like 115 or something in his last... You know what I mean?
Okay.
It's got to be...
Can I say
I've got one.
Okay, go.
Alex Witherden up against the Hawks, coming off a 50. Whoa. They allow massive defensive numbers. Chuck it on the Witho. That's risky.
How about some risk? Jeez.
All right, well, if you do want more captain options, check out the Draft Doctor's website. You can find Statesman's Skippers article, which drops, as usual, about 2 minutes before the bounce on Friday. And you can also get Cam's injury report, a dozen deals by Sam Porter, some awesome buys, ads, etc., sells. And you can also get Jono's late week pickups all on the Draft Doctor's website. That's thedraftdoctors.com.au. You can also get some merch up there as well. So grab yourself some merch. All right, we're going to get on to some Twitter questions now as well. So, lads, we had a few come through, and the first one from Justin, it's not really a great question, to be honest, but it's, why is Bailey Williams so shit? And the answer there is, he's not shit, is he, boys?
No, he's shit because he doesn't tackle.
He's actually shit because he's shit. Like, you don't even need justification for him to be shit. He's just terrible.
What did you see from... Because we didn't talk about him in the Western Bulldogs game, Jono. Did he show signs of life?
He didn't do anything?
No.
He turned the ball over. He didn't lay a tackle.
No. It's trust. It's all trust. He needs
Hashtag
trust of the coach.
Bailey air.
All right. The next question from Surly the Hansard. Now that Brad Scott is gone, will Zeeble be able to play in the midfield? Apparently, he was full forward yesterday, which you guys said he certainly was.
Yep. And we're hoping so under Reece Shaw's regime. He plays midfield.
Yes. And we're definitely watching all North players to see what's going to go on there and try and jump early and, you know, get in quick on those trades. Now, James, he says, currently sitting top four in a Supercoach league and traded Witts, McGovern and Shields for McAvoy, Cade Simpson and Wines. Obviously going to have to use backup ruckman and mid for the next month. What do you think of the risk I took with this trade? Now, Jono, you're a Supercoach expert here. What do you think?
Yeah, absolutely massive risk. I mean, Jared Witts is, as an owner of Jared Witts, he's been absolutely serviceable this year. You know what he's going to get week in, week out. It's from 80 to 100. That's it. That's about his ceiling. Jeremy McGovern, he's the same. He'll get you 80 to about 140. That's fine. Liam Shields, he's good. He's probably an M7 bench cover. Again, he'll go 85 to 120. But McAvoy, he's out long-term with a hamstring injury. Ollie Wines is out for another, 2 to 3 weeks with a foot injury. And Cade Simpson, well, he's getting old and in a Carlton team that's getting absolutely smashed. So, yeah, that's a hell of a lot of risk to take. If you are, look, I don't know what the rest of your teammates are like. Maybe they're not as good, but if yeah, if you're willing to roll the dice on them for the back end of your season to push for that flag, good luck to you. But I would have kept the three guys that you had, to be honest.
I think the thing for me is that his top four, he's going to drop from the top four because of those trades. And so he may not get a second shot in finals. I think that's...
And if they're playing bye rounds as well, you're carrying two injured guys through your bye rounds too, which is a big no-no. You want a full-strength team throughout your bye rounds.
Very risky indeed. All right, you can follow us at The Draft Doctors on Twitter or follow us on the Facebook or Instagram as well. We've got those pages. So, guys, before we go, I was tasked with coming up with a children's story. Or a picture book for Stevie's kid there, Baby Fizz,
because I did lose a bet to the great man in the preseason.
So I got to admit, I haven't quite finished the picture side of things for the book, but I have finished the story, and I'd like to share it with everyone before we go, and for the first time, right here on the show, to prove that I have in fact written the story. There's been a few fans out there thinking Dossie's got a bit lazy on the story and that he hasn't actually written it, but he has, and it's here. And this song, this story is called Bailey the Bulldog.
I'm so excited about this, by the way.
Once upon a time, there lived a bulldog named Bailey, who was king of the kennel and played in the yard daily. He lived on a farm with acres of space, but he was stuck way down back, well out of place. All that Bailey wanted was the freedom to roam. But Farmer Beveridge said, "No, you must stay at home." The kennel was crowded. There were lots of bulldogs. But Bailey was great. All the others were flogs. Bailey thought to himself, "This is my time to break out." But he needed advice and went to seek it out. Bailey knew who to ask. It was simple, you see. It was someone who was the best and brilliant like he. Bailey wandered out the kennel, packing his coat, and went to meet the one, the only, the goat. "What brings you here, Bailey, my child? You are just like me. You are young, free, and wild." Bailey replied, "Farmer Beveridge is mean. He always keeps me down back. I wish he'd give me a chance and cut me some slack." The goat looked into Bailey's eyes and took it all in. He could see in Bailey's heart he had the goat within. "I have faith in you, Bailey. Now I bless you with this." The goat took out his hoofs and sprinkled something bliss. "You will not be stuck down back. You will now roam free. Wake up in the morning, and soon you will see." Bailey went back to the kennel and felt refreshed, brand new. He fell asleep in an instant, had a dream or two. Bailey opened his eyes. It was morning, you see. He awoke feeling strange. He awoke feeling free. Bailey gazed down and couldn't believe what he saw, for there was a hoof in the place of his bulldog paw. He felt fitter and stronger than ever before. Bailey had transformed into something more. So always remember and be sure to take note that Bailey the Bulldog is in fact a goat. Thanks for listening. Remember, hashtag Shoey for Cam. Get those ratings in, and we'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening to the Draft Doctors Podcast. For more tips and in-depth analysis, head over to thedraftdoctors.com.au.